It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show talking about Two Rivers Community School today. That would be the school that is in what I would call the old post office sorting facility out in West Glenwood at 195 Center Drive. Rebecca Ruland is here. She is the Director of Education at Two Rivers Community School. She brought a couple students along. There's actually a new family orientation coming up on Thursday, March 9th at the school, which we'll talk more about. And obviously we can talk with Theo and Angel about their experience at Two Rivers Community School. So, Rebecca, what type of school is Two Rivers Community School?
Well, it's a public charter. And sometimes those get confused because people think charter schools aren't public schools, but we absolutely are. And we are chartered through the Charter School Institute, which is a district of the Colorado Department of Education, just like any other district, like the Roaring Fork District here locally. And they have, it's probably the biggest district, around 13, 14,000 students across the state. So therefore we're accountable for the same mandates as any public school.
All right. And so you're accredited in the same way?
Mm-hmm. We are indeed. Okay. We are accredited by them.
So what would the biggest difference be between a public school and a public charter school?
Well, I think mission-driven and parent involvement are two key factors, meaning charter schools typically have a very strong, distinct mission, which everybody rallies around, including the teachers. Certainly in our case, an enormous amount of parent input and involvement. And this school actually opened its doors in August of 2014, but it would have never been possible without all the work. We're talking everything from painting to cleaning up industrial sites to fundraising of parents who were involved in making sure that this became a reality. So it was truly a group effort. And I don't think you see necessarily that level of involvement at your average public school.
How many students in the school currently?
About 225.
It's not bad.
No.
And in what grade levels?
K through 8.
Okay. So that's actually right up there with a traditional public school, maybe a fewer, less students.
Well, in fact, we're expanding. So we are in the process right now of building an addition. Well, we bought the building, the old Postal Service station, this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And so we are going to make it our permanent home. We're adding a 9,000-square-foot addition as we speak. And over the summer, they'll be renovating the building to so that there's a lot more natural light and sound mitigation and a better functioning building for students.
So it sounds like you've got some of those problems that traditional public schools have to deal with, which is ever-growing population and having more students you need to serve.
Right. So when we're fully built out, we'll have just under 400 students, and that will be two of each grade level, K through 8.
Traditional public schools deal with certain geographic areas. Is it the same thing with your school, or do you have flexibility to accept students from a larger geographic area in your case?
Well, we serve students from, we're about, I don't know, maybe 35% of our students come from Newcastle, Silt, kind of Rifle area to the west, and then the rest come from the Glenwood Springs area. I don't think anybody's coming from Carbondale. It's a little bit too far. So mostly Glenwood Springs would be the rest. We can serve students from anywhere. But even in our local districts, I mean, they make those decisions every year, or whether or not they're going to have open enrollment and accept students from outside the geographic boundaries.
So you actually brought along one of the most prepared interviews I've seen. You actually brought your own notes today and with Theo and Angel and some specific things that you wanted to talk about with them. I'm sure that one of the things you wanted to discuss is the experience.
Sure.
Of being students. First of all, guys, I'm curious if either of you was in a different school before starting to go to Two Rivers Community School.
I think both of
You were here the first year, right?
I've been with TRCS since the beginning, but before that I went to Glenwood Springs Elementary School.
TRCS, I'm sorry. I need to get cool. I need to get in the know.
Get cool, will you?
Yeah. And I was there with the beginning as well, except I was at Sopris before this.
What grade level are you guys in? You in the same grade?
Yes, we're both in 6.
Okay. It seems like you know each other pretty well just from the conversation here. So what's it like? How would you compare this to your previous experience?
It's really, really different.
What are the classes like? How many kids on average in each one of your classes?
Our class has 17. We're the smallest in the school. So 17
by your
to
class,
20.
You mean the sixth grade class?
We have about 42 kids in the sixth grade.
Okay. But it's broken up into two different sixth grade
yes.
classes. Okay. So do you move from room to room throughout the day? Do you stay in one classroom like we did when I was back in sixth grade?
We move from class to class, okay. But what it is one teacher specialized, or in most grades, it's one teacher specialized in one thing. Like, we do multi-grade, which is K-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 7th and 8th, and then 6th grade is alone. But, like, 4th and 5th grade, like, one teacher might be really good at literacy, and one teacher might be good at math. So you start the day, like, together, and then maybe 5th grade goes to math, and 4th grade goes to literacy, and then they swap, and then, like, say they have a break, and then go to lunch.
When you say multi-grade, you mean that you've got kids of different ages in the same classroom?
Yes.
Okay. So, Rebecca, what is the benefit to the students in being in a classroom with older or younger students?
Actually, I'm going to let them address that.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. So, I think when you're, like, younger, you get taught – like from the older kids, but then when you are in the older class, you kind of teach them. So like you learn it and then you know it because you are able to teach it to someone.
You think there are also some social benefits? In other words, younger kids, I mean, it just is the way it is. They look up to the older kids. Older kids sometimes don't always realize that. But in this case, you're actually face-to-face. You're one-on-one with the younger kids. So not only do you know that they're looking up to you to a certain extent, but maybe you think twice about the things you do and how you act in school, not just in the classroom. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
I realize I kind of took the long way around there, but it makes sense to you. So it's the two of you have been in that situation, right, where you've had a chance to work with the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just because of your age and when the school opened, you didn't see that experience from the younger kids' standpoint. But tell me about working with the younger kids. How'd that feel? First of all, what classes? So what subjects? What areas?
Well, in a class that we call PBL, we are learning about place-based learning, problem-based learning. We usually mix in that class to teach each other different things about that because one class may get one thing that the other class didn't.
Interesting. PBL, place-based learning?
Yes.
Or problem-based learning.
Okay, so explain the two.
So, like, place-based learning is, so maybe we're learning about, like, the history of Colorado, and we might go up to Smuggler Mine that we actually did, and we went in and learned about our area to understand our area better.
To learn about, what did they mine at Smuggler? Was it gold? Was it silver?
It was silver.
Silver, okay.
So 10,000-foot view. When teachers come together, they build these platforms, which are place-based learning, but they take the science and social studies standards as the basis for that. So, and then they take a look at, you know, where is this, is there anything that can be applied in this area, either experts who know about it, places we can go. You know, it doesn't always work because the standards don't always lend themselves, but we always look for the relevance in that way. And so these guys, why don't you give them a couple other examples of some of the place-based learning so that that's fleshed out?
Well, we have also gone to, we've done a fire and water unit. And in that, we have gone to down to the Colorado River. We've gone to Grand Junction, to the Water Festival to learn about water cycles, and up to the Storm King Mountain to learn about the wildfire that happened there.
And we also went rafting in that unit. And then this year we
So it's not all about just hard work, huh?
We have some pretty good field trips. And then we went to Mesa Verde as well for, like, ancestral Puebloans. We were trying to, like, figure out, like, where people lived around there and how they lived. Like, the ancestral Puebloans lived in Mesa Verde in the, like, cave dwellings.
Right,
so, Theo, talk about, you also said project-based learning. So at the beginning of this year in sixth grade, what did you guys study and what did that have to do with problems?
I think you're talking about biomimicry, and we're like trying to figure out a good way to like maybe save energy. But biomimicry is when you grab something in nature, copy it, and try and build something out of it. Like, I got the flower that has a 137-degree angle, so every leaf gets an even amount of sunlight. And I brought that into a, like, solar tree. So every solar panel is at 137 degrees, so therefore you have sunlight evenly dispersed on every solar panel. So you could stack them high instead of out.
You're making me feel very old and ignorant. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit a little bit more. I want to hear about Angel's project, too. You did the same thing, right?
Yes.
The biomimicry? Okay, I want to hear what you did, too, so that I can feel even more old and ignorant. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again this afternoon, we're visiting with Angel Hernandez, Theo Corwin, and Rebecca Ruland. Rebecca is the Director of Education at Two Rivers Community School. Theo and Angel are students there. Again, there is a new family orientation on Thursday, March 9th at the school. It starts at 5:30. Is this something folks need to pre-register for, Rebecca, or register in advance, anything like that?
So we've done this will be our third, and basically it's an invitation to the public who are curious about our school and how it works, some of the things that we're describing on the radio today, to come and hear more. And if they decide it's of interest to them or their family to participate in our school in the future, they can submit an intent to enroll form, which does not commit them, but it's what we put into the lottery that is scheduled for April 4th, I think, this year, for grades that need a lottery. In the past, we've had more interest than we've had space. But this year we're adding two kinders, or the coming school year, two kinders, two first, and two sixth. So I don't know that we'll need a lottery for those grades because we'll have enough space. But in the other grades, there may just be one or two spots available.
I realize this is not a business venture, but from a business standpoint, anytime you have more interest than space available, it's a good thing. So
yeah.
I assume it is for Two Rivers Community School as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Again, that's Thursday, March 9th at 5:30 at the school, which again is the old post office sorting facility. Maybe at some time it'll actually be the Two Rivers Community School building, but now it still seems like the what used to be there is still most relevant,
mm-hmm.
even though you own the building. Again, that's 195 Center Drive, and again, anyone is welcome that would be interested in enrolling their students. Before the break, we were talking about place-based learning and project-based learning. And Theo was talking about his biomimicry project where he took a flower that its petals are perfectly aligned so that it can get the most sunlight throughout the day, and how he applied that to solar panels in a solar system and created a solar panel array, I guess you would call that, that worked in the, kind of the same way. Is that basically right, Theo?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually built a model with working solar panels on it as well.
Of course you did. No need to show me up anymore. Angel, what about you?
Well, I thought that there's a whole world beneath our eye that we are not clearly seeing. So I thought if we could take the protection of the UV rays from the sun off of us, but while protecting our eyes, we can still see this whole new world that is trying to tell us something. So I figure that if I can make a sort of lens to reveal the human eye to UV sun rays while also protecting it, we could see that new world.
Kind of like reduce the amount of ultraviolet without completely blocking it, yes. I guess you might say. Did you also build a working model, by the way, Anghel?
I conducted an experiment using a prism to reveal the UV light momentarily to other humans.
That sounds fascinating. And Rebecca, you get to work with these kids day in and day out, so you get to hear all of these ideas and all of this stuff all the time.
So we have a demonstration of Learning Night twice a year, in December and May. So this was December's, where they invite, the community's invited, families come in and they walk around and see this kind of learning. And so it's really, really fun. It's very different from one classroom to the next. You know, you assume they all look like this, but what was happening in the 4 or 5 classroom, and I think you guys got to do this last year too, is they, because they study Colorado history, they had set up the inside of a mine, and they toured people through the mine, and they, acted out the parts of various players within that. So it really looks – it's kind of dependent on the teacher's personality, what kind of thing they want to have the kids show, and then the kids' creative energy. It's a fun night.
You know, Colorado history, to my knowledge, is not part of any standardized testing or anything like that, but – what role does Colorado history play in the overall education at the in the elementary school?
Well, it's primarily centered around 4th grade social studies standards. So that's typically where it falls. And as we said, we have combo grades, 4-5, for example. And so there's an emphasis 1 year on the Colorado history and then emphasis on American history the next year. So we just have 2 year cycles of learning, basically.
Okay. What did you guys think of Colorado history? I mean, was it neat? Was it interesting for you to learn about your home state?
It was fascinating.
Yes, astounding.
So if I threw some questions out at you, you would be able to answer them?
Probably.
Most
like,
of them.
Like the state bird?
We did more like...
Okay.
We did more like what mines are like around the... state and I forgot what else.
A lot of mining history, right? And pioneers in the area.
So what's a coke oven? Tell me what a coke oven is and what it was used for.
You can explain that better than me.
Oh, okay. So a coke oven is up in, we went up to Redstone and they're mining for the coal and they put the coal in the coke ovens and they scorch it super hot and you get coke. Which sounds like Coca-Cola, but it's not. And it burns hotter and longer than just normal coal. So they're, just torching it, and then they could sell it for more money because then it will last longer and burn hotter.
Did you guys know that there were, I don't know if they're still there or not, used to be coke ovens in Glenwood, too, over by Cardiff?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Didn't know that.
On Midland Avenue, if you continue past 4 Mile Road, used to be over in there.
Them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they still there, Theo?
I think they're just like a couple of them, but they're just like an arch.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, they're definitely not usable anymore for sure. Again, if you would like to learn more about Two Rivers Community School, you're invited to a orientation for new families on March 9th. That's a Thursday at 5:30. Rebecca, any refreshments, that kind of thing? Or is it just
just
an informational meeting?
Yeah, it lasts about an hour.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of time for anything else.
And again, there are some grade levels where a lottery will be used to determine who gets into the school. So this is an opportunity for parents who would like to consider sending their kids to Two Rivers Community School to get on the list, if you will. Is there any kind of, for instance, if somebody applied last year but they didn't get in, did they get any extra points or anything like that? Is there a better chance that they might get in this year?
No, they just resubmit their intent to enroll form, and unless they have a family member At the school, they would be given priority if they had a sibling, perhaps, at the school, okay. or if you're a staff child or board member child. Okay. Or, in fact, for low-income or second-language families, we weight the lottery by three. So we're trying to, and we will, eventually have our demographics replicate our community.
Okay. Is there a website for Two Rivers Community mm-hmm. School? I guess I should have asked that sooner.
So Two Rivers, TWORIVERS .org, I think it is, O-R-G.
Again, that website is Two Rivers CS, as in Two Rivers Community School .org. One final break. We'll come back and wrap things up with everybody in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're visiting with Theo Corwin, Angel Hernandez, students at Two Rivers Community School, and then Rebecca Ruland is the Director of Education. Again, the public is invited to a new family orientation on Thursday, March 9th from 5:30 to 6:30-ish or so to decide if you'd like to bring your kids to Two Rivers Community School. Got three more items we need to talk about today. Spanish.
We have a strong second language acquisition emphasis in our school. And so I'm going to let these guys just talk for a minute about, you know, what they've been doing in Spanish, how much they take Spanish, how they see Spanish valued at our school.
Well, we have a very broad Spanish community here in the United States, Glenwood. And so we open the chance to teach English-speaking kids to be bilingual or trilingual. And this is a class that's open 4 days a week. And Theo?
Yeah, let's do maybe like a little sample. So I'm going to ask, what is your name, how are you, and how old are you? So, hola, ¿cómo estás?
Bien, ¿y usted?
Ah, muy bien.
¿Cómo te llamas?
Ah, yo me llamo Tío. ¿Y tú?
Me llamo Ángel.
Sí. ¿Cuántos años tienes?
Tengo 12 años. ¿Y tú?
Oh, yo tiene 12 años.
So we have we've been working on it. And we also have an advanced class to those who already speak Spanish.
You said that you've got some trilingual students in your class as well.
Possibly. Not in the sixth grade initially, but...
Okay, but that's something, I mean, it's possible.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we don't teach a third language, but we have okay. kids coming in who have, you know, their first language isn't English,
okay.
so they have another language, and so this would be their third. Yeah.
Okay, so their native language would be like Portuguese or...
Mandarin.
Okay.
German, things like that, yeah.
All right. What do you think, Theo? You know, they say that if you learn a second language at a young age, it actually somehow stimulates your brain to learn more just generally and do better in school. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think a lot. I've seen a lot more like work than on the average school than I would see.
So speaking of Spanish, the next item on the list is unidad, which mm-hmm. I assume is a Spanish word. It sounds like a Spanish
yes.
word. What does it mean?
Unity.
Okay.
We bring our school together on Wednesdays for an old school meeting that we call Unidad. And we start off with a banging of a drum that Ms. Rulin had brought in from Africa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they have, so I lived and worked in Africa for 6 years, different countries, and call to meeting is done with a drum. So I brought this enormous drum back, never thinking it would be a feature in a school, but we use it as a way to call people to meeting, and it's fun. So we'll just say that.
Okay. People in general tend to be a little tribal.
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't believe it, just look at, you know, the amount of bullying that goes on, you know, that happens online or in person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. How do the kids respond to that? I mean, do they think it's a cool thing? I imagine at a young age it might seem like something different and unique.
I think everybody likes it.
It's yeah. fun. It's just fun. It's like it comes up to their neck when you stand it up. So it's a very big drum and it's covered with goat skin.
I was going to say, I imagine it has a very deep sound.
Yeah, it does.
So it's definitely noticeable.
Yeah, it is.
As well. No need to get on the PA speaker in the school.
Well, and we don't have one, so there's another reason, right? Next year we will.
So there's a practical application for this as well.
Yeah,
as the larger, grander idea of unity and bringing everyone together.
Right.
Leadership is the final one. Talk about leadership, guys. What does that mean to you, first of all, and then how do you apply it in school?
So me and Angel are in the leadership group, and well, what we're doing is like helping Miss Ruland and Dr. Heyer, just doing stuff like recruiting people and helping with Unidad, and just doing like basic tasks that the principals or teachers need to be done.
And then, what are you doing right now in terms of organizing and leading?
We're working on a triathlon for our school, and we're thinking about expanding it out towards like some grades, about fourth, fifth, and sixth. So email Miss Ruland or like post something.
This triathlon would be
talking about it.
A public thing, or this would be just a school thing?
That's what we're working on right now.
Do we have a date?
April 27th. We are thinking of starting it off at the hot springs for a swimming beginning.
Okay.
But the idea was, so last year the kids did a triathlon to start school because we do enrichment cycles, and some kids chose that. And this year when we talked about leadership, I said, well, what do you guys want to lead? I have things I want led. And the idea of, well, we want to sponsor a triathlon. And so they're working with the teacher, Ms. Stuckey, and they're making all these decisions now about how and the details of where and who to invite and how to get ready and, you know, basically how to organize an event. It doesn't have to be a triathlon. It's just that process of learning how to lead and organize, in this case, an event.
So you're working with members of the public as well as peers.
Well, I don't think we're stepping outside our school at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So, but I think in time, if this becomes a signature event for our school and we get good at it, leading it, student-led or event, then we'll expand our network. So,
what do you guys think? Would you like to see an event that you worked on get larger in the future?
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be fun.
These guys like to lead. And so that's why they're sitting here, actually, because they are wonderful ambassadors for our school. But that hopefully will translate to their future as well. Public speaking, representing an idea, being able to speak fluently and articulately. Another thing we work on at our school are Socratic seminars.
Oh, yeah.
And that is just a way of, you know, public discourse that's hopefully educated and supported by facts and not just opinions. So this is part of our repertoire of things that we work towards.
Well, you guys are certainly well-spoken, certainly better spoken than I was in sixth grade.
Thank you.
Do you have any aspirations for the future? What would say if you came back here in 10 years, what do you think your lives would be like? What do you think you'd be doing?
Probably engineering stuff or blowing stuff up.
I can see that. I can see that. What about you, Anghel?
I would like to work in the space industry one day.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't it? You could combine the two. You guys could still hang out and be friends even later, you know?
So that reminds me, though, for example, Anghel in our Unidad, we talk about inspiration, what inspires you. So he did a piece on space science and famous astronauts and why that inspires him. So we try to get student voice as part of the fabric of our work everywhere we can.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Can I enroll?
Yeah, come on down. I'd love to have you.
Again, if you would like to learn more about Two Rivers Community School, the new family orientation is Thursday, March 9th. It starts at 5:30. Again, that's an opportunity for new families to learn about the school. And if you would like your kids to have a chance at enrolling, there are some grade levels where there's more interest than availability. But you can still fill out the form and see what happens.
Yeah, we'd love to see you. Welcome.
Again, it's at what I would call the old post office facility out in West Glenwood at 195 Center Drive, which is now owned by Two Rivers Community School. Within the last year, you said, Rebecca?
This year we purchased it.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a new thing.
Yeah, well,
fairly recent.
It is very recent, yeah.
Again, you can also learn more at the website, which is tworiverscs.org. Guys, thanks again. I appreciate your time and being articulate. And stop by anytime for a cup of hot chocolate, okay?
Thanks for having us.
Rebecca, all the best.
You as well.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.